Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, on yesterday's show, we talked to a few listeners from a range of age groups who were planning to purchase health insurance on the new Obamacare health exchanges. Now, one of them, a young woman named Pilar, spoke about why she's inclined to purchase a policy on the exchanges. I think we have her ready to go, do we? You will also hear me ask her about her other options. No, I don't think we have Pilar. Okay. Today we want to hear from – we do have Pilar. Here's Pilar from yesterday's show.
It's not like I couldn't get insurance before. It's just that the premiums were high and the coverage was so limited that I didn't really want to pay out of pocket for it. But with the more transparent option of the Affordable Care Act, I think it will be easier for me to get coverage and not have to, like, when I get sick, go to my parents and say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, do you want to give me money to cure my pneumonia, or do you want me to pay rent this month?
You could just pay the tax penalty and save the money on the premiums. Do you know?
That's cheating, but I could do that.
That's cheating, says 28-year-old Pilar, who called the show yesterday. We'll be checking in with her, by the way, over the next few weeks as she navigates her Affordable Care Act options and see if they actually work for her. But right now we want to open up the phones for more of you in the so-called Young Invincibles age group, healthy people between 18 and 35, if you're deciding whether to buy a policy on the new exchanges. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. If you're between 18 and 35 and relatively healthy and uninsured, 212-433-9692. Are you going to buy an Affordable Care Act policy? Are you at least going to browse on the healthcare exchange website? Or are you saying, no, I don't think so. I'm going to pay the tax penalty. It's going to be much cheaper for me. I really resent this individual mandate anyway. 212-433-9692. Of course, the Affordable Care Act depends on large numbers of young, healthy people joining the insurance pool in order to balance out older, sicker people who have higher medical expenses. But even though that's the reason for the individual mandate, a lot of people will actually find it cheaper if they don't want to buy insurance to simply pay the tax penalty. So how about for you? Are you definitely going to buy an insurance policy under Obamacare? Are you still weighing your options? You can call us with the pros and cons, according to you. Or have you decided, nah, I don't like this thing. I don't like being mandated. I just don't want to be told by the government what to do, and it's not in my interest. So if you're between 18 and 35 and currently uninsured, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, on day three of the exchange websites being open, and we'll take your calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the phones are open. If you are young and healthy and uninsured, will you shop on the Obamacare exchanges? 212-433-WNYC. And now all our lines are full, so why don't you post your thoughts on this as well to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, or a tweet at Brian Lehrer or Brian Lehrer Show on Facebook. And Sam in Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello, Sam.
Yes, good morning. I want this Obamacare to be successful, and that's the reason why I would like people of my age group to join in. And this way it would lower the overall cost for the economy from $2 trillion right now to $500 billion, just like the Canadian system. Then we can have more employment. So at a macro level, I'm looking at this whole thing.
So there's, and Sam, I'm going to move on. So there's one individual looking at the macro level. Justin in Hamilton Heights, how about you? Hi.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I'm 27 years old. I'm a pretty healthy guy. But I think if I ever had a serious condition or cancer or something like that, you know, a checkup now might cost me, you know, whatever it will be on the you know, the health insurance, but down the line it could cost me thousands or tens of thousands of dollars if I was uninsured.
So insurance is a good protection to have, obviously. Do you also think about what the previous caller was saying and what Pilar, the caller from yesterday, was saying in the clip that we played, that, you know, you feel like in some way it's your duty to the macroeconomic picture, to the general national affordability of health care, to participate in this, or aren't you thinking about it on that level?
Not at all. I don't think it's my duty. I think it makes sense.
Thank you very much. Eric in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm 30 years old, and I'm in great health. I would love to get the care, but I simply can't afford it. I went to a really fancy art school and have tremendous amount of debt. The affordable health care is not affordable for me and for a lot of people like me.
So you've already got a sense of what the policies would cost and that they're too much money, even if they may be less than the private market was offering before?
I mean, I don't have health insurance to begin with because it's too expensive. And
right.
From what I understand, it's around $300 starting.
That's probably about right in New York.
Yeah. I mean, when you're facing student loans that are over $1,000 a month, being a freelance gallery painter, you know, it's impossible.
The other thing that you've got to check is, depending on your income, how much of a government subsidy you would get and how much that brings it down for you.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I guess that would definitely be the next step.
Eric, thanks a lot. Happy shopping as you figure out whether it does work for you. Katie in Morningside Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Katie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm a 31-year-old female, and I'm currently married, but in order for me to get onto my husband's plan that is offered through his work, and I actually, we would end up spending about $1,000 a month, and as a 31-year-old female, I'm looking to get pregnant within the next year, and it just doesn't offer me much of an option. The Affordable Care Act would be much more affordable, but we've even talked about paying out of pocket for a pregnancy, which actually comes out to less than what his plan offers. So we're definitely weighing our options and looking at that as a viable thing.
Paying out of pocket for pregnancy might work out for you if the pregnancy goes well.
Exactly. So that's the risk we're trying to figure out. And, you know, I don't know if we're willing to take that. It seems like women really have the lower end of the deal when it comes to insurance, when we think about our medical needs as opposed to men.
Have you done any of the number crunching yet and been able to come up with a price for Obamacare health insurance versus what your husband pays now for his, or what he has to contribute through his work?
Yes, we've looked at the numbers, and it would be significantly less. So we are definitely looking into it. I'm not sure how I feel about it as a whole. It feels like I'm just not quite sure where I stand on it as helping. I mean, it seems like it would help the masses, but at the same time, it seems like it forces us to have to buy into something, and it borderlines us as it's kind of ideal.
Katie, thank you for your call, and good luck out there. Nomi in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nomi.
Hi there. I am 34. I am totally against this Affordable Health Care Act. I feel betrayed by our government. I believe that, you know, I'm in a commission-based business, and I used to pay $400 a month for my health insurance. I dropped it because I'm no longer making a lot of money like I used to. So I'm healthy. I run. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I've cut out carbs, or too many of them. I keep myself fit. Why should I finance, you know, the health care for people who have been, many of them have been really reckless in their youth, and now that they find themselves on, you know, the downward spiral of this economy and not having enough money, or should have saved, you know, money, as opposed to buying the Ferragamos and taking the expensive, living beyond their means, now I'm supposed to pitch in and help with this Affordable Health Care Act, and you're mandating me with an agency who was just line dancing and carrying on with our money. Now we're supposed to put our trust in their hands to collect and to enforce penalties. It's just ridiculous. This is not the America my parents and my great-great-grandparents envisioned for me. I know it isn't.
So
and it's not the America that I want for my children. So the woman that wants to thinking about kids, she might want to hold off for a few years.
So you think that if somebody's been working at jobs for most of their lives and getting health insurance through their jobs, and now either the employer has dropped the coverage or maybe they're not as employed as they were when they were younger, these individuals, that it's on them to have saved money for the potential expense of health care when they're 55 or something, when that would be pretty expensive.
I'm doing it. Because it's called an emergency fund. If our government, we allowed our government to rape the Social Security fund, and we don't say anything about that. There's no money left for that. So why can't you think outside the box and set up an account, knowing that there's a rainy day fund. Talk to your great grandparents. They always had some little hidden mattress during just in case something happened. They go under the mattress and they pull out all this money. You're like, oh my God, I've been saving just in case. We have not been encouraged as a society to save. We consume too much, we abuse too much, and then we look to the government to rape its citizens, because it's not the government that's paying. It's we, the people, that's paying.
Well, that's pretty strong language. Be careful. I understand raping the Social Security fund, but before you accuse the government of raping the people, I just want to do a language check
there.
Okay, you're
right. Maybe rape is a little too strong of a word, but we turn to the government to bail us out too much. You know, they're bailing out corporate America. They're bailing out. I mean, when do we become self-sufficient and start to look to ourselves to handle our needs, so that when we do have, you know, real emergencies, our government is there for us? It's like everybody just turns to the government for everything. Yep. Now it's a business now. You have everybody under the sun turning to the government, from churches who now have their faith-based initiatives to, you know, charities who have theirs. Why should we carve out money for private corporations who have big accounts they should be doing for their employees?
And Naomi, I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate your call. And let's go to David in Brooklyn. Hi, David. You're on WNYC.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
And
I just wanted to say that last year I was hospitalized for a month. And anybody who thinks that the Affordable Care Act is not affordable, I would just like to share that I was bankrupted by my hospital bill when it came in. It was in excess of $20,000, and that was after negotiating a reduction from the hospital. So you'd much rather have the insurance, trust me.
And what do you say to the previous caller, really the previous two callers? You heard Naomi in Jersey City there, and how strongly she feels that this should be on individuals to either buy their health insurance or save for a rainy day. Not on the government. The previous caller, even though I think she was more pro-Obama in general, said it's kind of fascist to force everybody who's in your age group to buy insurance.
Well, when I was younger, I did have the pleasure and the experience of traveling to several countries around the world. And if you go anywhere else, you'll see that this is not up for discussion. This is not something that is, you know, mandated to people on an individual level. This is something that is every citizen's right. If you live here, if you're a citizen, that is your right. It's beyond any negotiation. And I just wonder why America, everybody touts us, the greatest country, we're so great. Well, why can't we get this done? Why is this such a big deal?
David, thank you for your call. How about Mandeep in Hackensack? Mandeep, you're going to shop for insurance on the exchanges?
Yes, hi. Good morning, Brian. Long-time listener, first-time caller, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, actually, I am currently in the process of applying for jobs. I had an interview today. It went really well. And if I get the job, I will end up getting insurance from my employers. But in case, if that doesn't happen, I will give it another 3 weeks before I at least go and browse the system, because I'm just highly curious and I want to take a look at it. I want to see what's available out there. I'll give you some backstory. In high school, I was in track team. I dislocated my shoulder. Mm-hmm. As an uninsured kid, my bill was $7,000 for 2 hours in the hospital.
Oh, boy.
Second time I dislocated my shoulder, I fell off a roof, and the bill was again $10,000. And my dad had a heart attack at 51. He was relatively healthy. Had a heart attack, had a triple bypass surgery. The bill was $270,000, And that's even after the amazing surgeon, the human being was amazing. He dropped his bill. Even after that, it was $207,000. We had to file for bankruptcy because we couldn't do this. Now, honestly, I think I'm 24 years old. I think it's a duty, it's a civic duty of my generation to support this system, because as somebody who's lived in three countries before, this is unbelievable. This is unacceptable. Health should not be a luxury. It should be a basic human right. As a civilized organism, as a social being, it should be a basic human right today.
How about,
we're not living in caves anymore.
How about that previous caller's assertion that it should be an individual responsibility to save for that rainy day?
I'm sorry. Listen, saving for rainy day? Yeah, we had saved up for rainy day. We had $100,000 saved up for rainy day. How much are you expected to save? $500,000? And my dad's a contractor for DHL. For Christ's sake, he makes like $45,000 a year max. And, you know, I went through college. I paid $100,000 for my college tuition. And I worked three jobs. I never took out a loan because I am so deathly afraid of owing big banks a penny, because they take everything away from you the moment they get a chance. So the previous caller from Jersey City, I'm sorry, Brian. I mean, especially as a woman, she's using those words. It's despicable. I have no comments on that. But I honestly think my generation, it's our duty to make this country work again, to throw out this canker in Congress and become the leaders that we should be. Because I feel like my generation is wasting time on Twitter and Facebook and not facing the real issues, whereas we have the old generation clutching at straws to hold power, including throwing this tantrum in Congress. I mean, I'm not sure if you watch South Park, Brian, but there's this episode in South Park where Canada goes on strike. And this episode, this is just like that. It's, again, it's government on strike. And did you hear this comment today from a GOP rep who said, we don't know what we want, but we have to get something out of it, but we don't know what it is.
Mandeep, I'm going to leave it there. And
yeah,
if there's a crazy situation in America, South Park usually has a little bit of a
absolutely
truth lens on it. Right, Mandeep, thank you very much. Mandeep and Nomi and everybody else, we encourage you to keep calling the show. And thanks to all of you who called in this segment for young and healthy and uninsured listeners on what you're going to do with respect to the health insurance exchanges. Now, President Obama was just speaking about the government shutdown in Rockville, Maryland. Let's hear a little bit of what he had to say.
There are enough Republicans and Democrats in the House of Representatives today that if the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, simply let the bill get on the floor for an up or down vote, every congressman could vote their conscience, the shutdown would end today. The only thing that is keeping the government shut down, the only thing preventing people from going back to work and basic research starting back up and farmers and small business owners getting their loans, the only thing that's preventing all that from happening right now, today, in the next 5 minutes, is that Speaker John Boehner won't even let the bill get a yes or no vote because he doesn't want to anger the extremists in his party. That's all. That's what this whole thing is about. And we've heard a lot from congressional Republicans the past couple days saying they don't want this shutdown. Well, there's a simple way to prove it. Send the bill to the floor. Let everybody vote. It will pass. Send me the bill. I will sign it. The shutdown will be over, and we can get back to the business of governing and helping the American people.
President Obama bringing it to House Speaker John Boehner in remarks just moments ago in Rockville, Maryland, on government shutdown, day three, Obamacare exchanges, day three.